installment on our Torah kitchen. It all started with four chasanim. That's why it's four shiurim. And although we only have one chasan sitting to my right at the present time, it doesn't matter. We're going to keep right on going. Last time we spoke about Hilchos Shabbos and some of the issues which relate to warming food and heating food. And the people asked me at the end of the questions. We ran out of time. One of them was warming drawers. I remember distinctly was left as an open question. And the others that I forgot, you'll tell me after I finish this one. So warming drawer, we spoke about last time. There are two issues to contend with in each and every case of reheating food. One is that you're afraid there's going to be an adjustment of the fire. Shem yichata v'gacholim. The other is it's nirik and mevashet. It looks like cooking. So let's take these things one at a time. Looks like cooking, in my opinion, is not applied to warming drawers. No one cooks there, to best of my knowledge. However, the idea of adjustments is certainly a serious issue, because all these warming drawers have adjustments. They have dials, other ways to raise or lower the heat. And it's above the yards of lettuce for a minimum. So you have a real problem. Not only is it a problem, but it doesn't lend itself to as easy a solution as some of the other modes of heating. In other words, for example, the most famous way of taking care of a problem is what we call, in Mishnah speak, ketuma, which means in our speak, covered, which means in practical terms, a blech. A blech is a hecker, as the Ron explains. You see a blech, you see right away, hey, I better not stoke the coals or adjust the handle. Komikir adin, there's no need to cover the handles proper. You have to just cover the fire, because that's what the kach tiknul chazal, that's what Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva. However, does anyone in this room have a warming drawer in his house, by curiosity? Can you just please describe it to us? What does it look like?
Under the oven.
Where is the adjustment?
Above the oven.
That's a major problem, you see right away. If the adjustment is above the oven and the warming drawer is below the oven, so if you cover the bottom of the warming drawer underneath the pots, you don't see it at all. It's not as if, you know, if I have a blech, so the blech covers it. All right, the handle may be here, but I can't get to the handle without seeing the blech. Here, I can get to the handle and never even see the covering underneath the pot. So what kind of hecker is that? It seems to me it's impossible to have such a hecker. Now, other warming drawers, not as sophisticated as yours, have the handle a little bit further down. But even so, what good is a covering which is underneath the pot do if the handle is here? It's here. So it's there. If it's on the lower end, it may be possible to take the piece of tin foil underneath the pot and then slide it up so that when you see the, open up the drawer, and that's where the handle is by the top of the drawer, you'll see the tin foil. But in your case, where the judgment's on top and the thing's on the bottom, which is what I've seen in my part of town, so there's no way to make any kind of hecker like that. So you're stuck. So it means you can't use it. Pashut. Oh, there's one final solution called something called toch betit. That is a third way of aside from what's called grufa ktuma in the Mishnah, is toch betit, which means literally you cover it with plaster. You cover it with plaster. There's even that's more in the Shabbos of Yud Ches. There's no possibility of yichata begacholim because it's such a pain in the neck to remove all the plaster before you start adjusting it, you're going to realize, oh, today's Shabbos, I'm not going to do it. And therefore, I believe that toch petit would do the trick. Of course, the problem is you want to put plaster on your warming drawer. You're going to get thrown out of the kitchen. So what's the equivalent of plaster? So I saw in the Sefer called the Oruch HaShabbos, they put a piece of tape on top of the handle. That's kind of a toch petit. In my opinion, that's not sufficient. The point is, it's such a complicated thing to get out. You have to take a stick and break the plaster open, as opposed to a simple piece of tape. That's just like, that's no better than a regular covering. Therefore, I think if you want to have the equivalent of toch petit, it has to be much more significant than just a plain piece of tape to cover it. You'd have to have, I would say, a number of different pieces of tape, some strong, some duct tape, or things of this nature, and you put one piece here, and another piece there, and another piece there. So it's so complicated, you can't just pull it off in one shot, and therefore it would require some effort to expose the handle. That's the kind of toch petit. Now it's true, Chazanish suggests that toch petit is found in Shas Bavli only with respect to Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, there's no Shem Yichata Begacholim. However, we're discussing putting something in the warming drawer on Shabbos. Okay, that's one however. However, number two is that the reason why we're more strict on Shabbos than before Shabbos is interesting discussion. I can't go into all the details right now. Is only potentially because of we'll call a nirek and mevashel consideration. Looks like cooking. In our case, if omajor doesn't look like cooking, it's going to be more lenient. And this goes to the issue of the three levels we spoke about last week, putting it before Shabbos, returning it on Shabbos, and starting from scratch. But I'm just giving you some headlines about this important issue. Okay? That's one. What else was left at last week? I forgot. Any other loose ends about warming foods? I already forgot. That I remember, warming drawers.
Someone has to put Master Shabbos. He's not here anymore. But he is.
He's not here? He's not here? Good. Okay. So we'll just you know conclude by saying that running a kitchen on Shabbos is from the perspective of the heating issue is a major issue. We spoke about cooking last week and a little bit about returning things to heat them up on Shabbos. And again, in my opinion, the best solution is a non-adjustable hot plate. Again, just to review from last time, if it cannot cook. So it's what we call the American version. It's not all that hot. I think that it's a very, very good leniency. Even if it is very hot, the Israeli version, I still think it's a good leniency because as far as I can tell in America, no one is cooking on those hot trays. And therefore, there's no Nerikim Bavashah, there's no Shem Yechata because you can't adjust it. That's why I think it's permissible. Okay? Good. Done. Settled. Okay. So this is as far as the issue of heating food on Shabbos. There are many, many other kitchen issues which relate to Shabbos. It's borer is a major one of the Labatas Malachas. Borer we know is selecting, and probably the main place in the house where borer comes up is in the kitchen. You probably learned that, just to make things very brief, that in order to be permitted, you need three pluses. It has to be the good from the bad. It has to be for immediate use. It has to be using your hand, and not some kind of specialized instrument. All these rules bend a little bit. Immediate may not be literally immediate. Maybe just you know within, some say within a few minutes of the meal, and not within a few minutes of the to start, but to end. So it takes you 20 minutes to do whatever act of boredom you want to do. You're allowed to start 20 minutes before the meal easily, maybe even more than that. You don't have to start the minute before the meal because then the meal will be delayed. Okay, that's the immediacy issue. Some are even leaning for half an hour before the meal, but some even more, but that's hard to rely upon. As far as the good from the bad, so that's considered to be correct when there are two alternatives. Take the good from bad or bad from good. Today we had for the first time in the summer peas and carrots. Ho! Meshech Yonah. So some people like peas and not carrots, some like carrots and not peas. So the reason Pesach Halacha is that whatever you don't want is considered to be psolus. But even though it's delicious and everyone else wants it, since you don't want it, you shouldn't take the peas away from the carrots if you want only carrots, or vice versa. Okay? What happens if there's not such an easy alternative? I'll give an example. You want to separate. According to the Magen Avraham, and this is a questionable idea. Peeling is considered to be borer, based on a certain pshat in the Rishonim, which may not be correct. So what are you going to do? Take the inside from the outside? It's impossible. You have to peel it from the outside. So the Poskim says, since there's no alternative, that's considered to be okay, even though you're taking the bad away from the good. And as far as the implement is concerned, you're supposed to use your hand and not supposed to use any specialized instrument. So the Poskim say, let's say you want to take some flies in the soup. It's not a question we'll get to later. And you want to take it out. Now, you can easily use your hands, but look, you don't want to get your hands dirty, stop wet, whatever, you know, it's gross, or it's whatever you want to call it. So you take a spoon. That spoon is not really helping you in selecting. The fly is not, you don't need the clay which is prohibited is a sieve, right? A sieve, that assists dramatically in the process. As opposed to just a spoon, which is considered to be a yada richta, so the extension of your hand, and therefore would be permissible in such a circumstance. These are just some of the highlights, in my view, is that peeling is not considered to be borer at all. Why? Because borer presupposes what we call a taruvus, a mixture. So the case, the classic case in Shas, is pebbles in the wheat. Pebbles fall into the wheat. You want to remove the pebbles, that's called borer, because it's all mixed in. But the peeling process is no mixture whatsoever. One's on top of the other. So the Magen Avraham seems to hold that, well, if the case where there's a peel, you're right, it's not one major taruvus, but we view it with the strictures of taruvus, the makal mago, you know, where the rubber hits the road, where the orange hits the peel. At that particular spot, that would be considered an issue of borer according to the Magen Avraham, which again is accepted by many poskim, as is usual, Magen Avraham wins. Mishnah Berurah quotes it, but at the same time, Shulchan and others say that that's not considered to be borer in the first place. This is very important for various reasons. But let me say one thing, that when it comes to the issue of taking the bad from the good, which according to the standard view is prohibited, even in a case of immediate use, even if using your hands, there are those who have the following modification. Let's say, for argument's sake, he's not going to do it for immediate use, which we defined as within 20 minutes or half an hour. No, but really immediate use. Really, really. It means he takes the bad from the good and puts the good immediately into his mouth. What about that? Now that comes in two forms in our typical kitchen. The truth is maybe it's more in the dining room than the kitchen, but it's an extension. One is the bones from the fish, one is the pits from the watermelon. These things happen. We had our good friend Zev didn't go fishing this summer, so it didn't come up. He used to go fishing every Friday. We had this shot every single Friday night. But you know, the Beis Halevi said that we should be machzik tova liyisrael that they eat gefilte fish, so there should be no problem with the bones. Okay, so that's very nice. We became a firm camp this year. We only eat gefilte fish. But you come home, it may serve you some fancier fish that has a bone here and there. And watermelon, we have watermelon here. Is it seedless watermelon that they serve around Shabbos? No. So everyone has this problem with watermelon. Right? It's a standard dessert every Shabbos lunch here in this camp. Gewalt! What do you do? So if you're not worried about being impolite, you can do what the machmirim say. Just take a bite out of the watermelon and go, I'm not going to say this, you know, and... Rebbetzin Emily Post holds us in Issa Dorais. And if your mother holds the same way, then you're in deep trouble. You can't do that. So the Ramban seems to say, Bipshuto, that if you take a fork and a knife, you're okay, take a piece of watermelon, and there's one little pit, and that bite-sized piece, you're allowed to remove that pit and put it directly into your mouth. That's considered derech achil lemamish. It's on the way into your mouth, that'd be permissible. Similarly with respect to bones and the fish. Chazon Ish didn't like that, didn't read the Ramban that way, and I was told that Rabbi Posen from Shlita, from Washington, who had this heter, this cool in his book, Chizuk Beis Yaakov and Shabbos, the book was banned in Bnei Brak. Could have banned in Boston, it's banned in Bnei Brak. Because he paskened, or at least he didn't paskin, he just quoted the heter, which Chazon Ish didn't like. It's very difficult to read the, so how did the How did the Chazon Ish read the Ramban? He read it to mean that the pshat is that you're allowed to, hear what's going on now? You're allowed to put it into your mouth and then take it out of your mouth. You don't have to do what I described before. You can take your finger and pull it out of your mouth. Okay, that's one pshat in the Ramban, but the Posh pshat is not that way based upon the Ritva, which follows the Ramban and other sources in that sugya. Okay, so those are leniencies which can be followed if you have these situations. Okay, that is boring. We're not done yet. There are many other halachas. There's something called dash, or its primary told other which called schita. You can't squeeze fruits. Let's get the juice out. Not allowed. There is an exception which is called mashka bola ochel toch ochel ka ochel, which you're allowed to squeeze lemons onto fish. Give the fish a good taste, because halachically, even the lemon juice that comes out is considered to be a salad, and therefore it would be permissible. May you squeeze lemon into the sugar with the intention of then putting that sugar cube or sugar powder into the tea? The Mishnah Berurah says yes, and Chazon Ish says no. Who are you fooling? Come on, it's going to the tea, it's just as a weigh station. But the Mishnah Berurah is making, that's the Midrash Golem, is to follow that leniency. Fine. It's such a circumstance where it's just a bluff, and if you forgive me for saying it, it has to be fully absorbed in the sugar. In the case of the where it's really giving taste to the fish or to the salad, lettuce salad, then as long as it gives taste, even if it's not fully absorbed, this is the case with respect to lettuce for sure, and maybe certain parts of fish too. Okay, so that's the idea of schita. Much more to be said. Everything I'm saying now is b'kitzur nimrus. There's volumes about all of these discussions. Okay. Now, there's a question of what we call tochen, which is grinding. So, who ever heard of grinding? We grind? Yeah, sure we grind. Grinding would be, according to some authorities, dicing an onion for your egg and onion or liver salad. It's a serious question. When I grew up, it was my job. It was my job. My mother gave me the job. Okay, come on from shul. We did it right before the meal. We'll see you soon. I would chop the... I don't have these things anymore. It was an old kind of chopping knife. Ever have a katantan? It doesn't exist anymore. No? He was in the got lost in the chopping knife at the bottom of the salad. It was going to kill him 10 times. Anyway... So we have liver, and have eggs, and have onions. And my job was to chop it up, and it was served most Shabbosim as a delicacy at the beginning of the Shabbos meal. Gewalt! How can you do this thing? It's the issue of tochen. The Rashba says, if you're doing it just before the meal, it's permissible. It's just what we have when it comes to borer, so too with respect to tochen. And that's minhag olam to rely upon that Rashba. We should also point out that classical tochen is grinding. It's used to grind wheat into flour. This is just dicing. Dicing is may not be as strict, especially if these pieces aren't that small, and especially with respect to non-vegetative items, such as the liver and the eggs. That's a much less of a problem. Not going to do the karka. The onions is a bigger problem, but as I said before, the minhag is to be lenient. If you're doing it right before the meal. Okay? So that's what we call tochen. People say you can't mash a banana because of tochen. Not only that, Chazon Ish says that the leniency of Samach Lasuda, which is said by the Rashba with respect to dicing, would not apply to mashing. Dicing is a tolda, and mashing may be an av. It's more comparable to the grinding process. So therefore, you can't make a banana even just for a child. Even just before the meal. So what are the kidneys? The kidneys, you have to mash banana, what do you do? So the poskim say you use a shinui, based upon a Gemara and Shabbos. What's a shinui? Instead of using the fork itself, you use the handle of the fork. Okay, the handle of the fork is considered to be a shinui. It's not normal, you can't do too much at one time. Some shinui are better than others, not for now. So that's considered to be a permissible way of achieving that desired end. Then it's lush. Lush is kneading. Very serious malacha. You take flour and water than you need. That's what they have to do in the kitchen right now as we speak. So some guys in the kitchen, they're preparing the tomorrow's challah. It's delicious. It's a new improvement this year. Home-baked challah every Shabbos. Hot. Friday get hot challah. So mama just comes right out of the oven. Meiridik. Okay. But don't do it on Shabbos, chas v'shalom. This is before Shabbos. So therefore, you can't do any kneading. You can't mix flour and water and what's included in that category. So some say there's a problem of mixing tuna with mayonnaise. Others are more lenient for various reasons. What's not lush is putting some of these guys have chocolate powder in their milk to make chocolate milk. It's just pours like water, like milk. That's not, it's just flavoring. It's not considered to be a mix. Even within mixes, there's blila ova and there's blila raka. Blila ova is like dough. They make it in the kitchen now. That's really hard. That's much more serious. As opposed to blila raka, which is soft, which is less serious. There's a question of what's the precise line in between them. There are those who make cereal for their babies, and their baby cereal, they have this powder. You mix it in with water, with milk. It's a big problem on Shabbos, because it's thick enough. And, sometimes it's considered to be blila ova. Now, the cereal we had this morning, those who had cereal this morning, was a farina kind of cereal. It was very loose. It was so loose, it was almost a bracha shaila. That's how loose it was. I think it was the loosest in the summer. It was a little bit more body to it. It was certainly Baromina Mazonis. And because the more body it has, like the oatmeal we have, which is thicker, may already be bordering on blila ova, even though it's not as thick as pizza dough, challah dough. But so they say if you want to make cereal for your baby, you have to make it a little bit thinner. I guess what we had this morning. That's prep for today's shiur. And you should also reverse the order. If you normally put in the water first, put in the powder first, or vice versa. And when you mix it, instead of mixing it like this, which is a normal way, you mix it like this. You know, X's and O's, right? Instead of doing tic-tac-toe, right? Instead of having an O, an X. You go this, you take it out, you go this. This, or else use your finger. Various shinuim which you use in order to achieve some kind of a mini mixture without getting involved in the iser of lush. Okay? Yes?
So in general, dissolving powders into water will not be
problematic. No problem. Yeah.
Going back to borer, if someone has pickles and brine, can you take a pickle out of
for it? For sure, okay. The pickles are not mixed into the brine. The pickles are just are clearly discernible. They just happen to be, you know, in the brine. That's not a problem whatsoever.
Is there lush on two semi-solids together?
That's like a question.
Yogurt and
even yogurt with cheese and the yogurt itself these days has some fruit in it. You start playing with these all these things. There are tremendous machmirim and tremendous mekilim. Cottage cheese and cream. Some talk about ketchup and mayonnaise. Everyone has their own little delicacy. There are a lot of room to be lenient, but if you can do it before Shabbos, it's preferred. And if you have to do it with as many shinuim as possible. Yeah?
This was a question of lush?
Lush. Lush. Yes? Two liquids, no problem. I want to mix, wine with water, or you want to mix your Coca-Cola with ginger ale. I don't know what you want to do. That's no problem whatsoever. Yeah, sure.
Does a fork have an Indian, borer? Is it considered like a strainer?
In theory, yes. In theory, the fork comes. Sometimes even your fingers could be a strainer. It's beyond, but if you use your fingers like this, it's a strainer. It's the equivalent of a klee, some say. Yeah.
Sometimes you serve hummus and tchina in the same plate. Can you mix them together? The tchina is in the hummus, and it's liquidy.
Since I don't need these things, it's hard for me to give a specific answer to this. I'd rather than someone who knows what it is give a better answer. So again, yes.
Yes, I think in putting in the oven, or we also say that sorting and organizing the
classroom. Organizing?
Just things in general. Mm-hmm. Organizing the
depends. Like silverware is a problem, potential problem.
How about Sfar?
It's probably too big if you ask me to be considered Tyrus. Each stem is huge. Even, forks, knives, and spoons, it's all in one big mixture, one can suggest. Yes?
If one is mixing two different liquids, should one be careful to pour the lighter liquid into the...
You know about Sovea?
Yeah.
Ain't Sovea Be'ochman, that's a real psak. It's not Machmer, but we shouldn't worry about that too much. Okay? Good. Yes?
Are there any term to separate for board games and Shabbos?
Board games? Sure. Sure. You want this piece, not the other piece. And it's for immediate use, using your hands. So it should be no problem. Yeah?
If I'm taking soup from a pot and I want more of the solids in the soup for the liquid.
Such as the knedlach or the noodles.
Yeah, so I like tilt the spoon against the wall to get out.
That's a potential problem. Potential problem. They have noodles in our soup, or usually noodles. You want a lot of noodles. So you like to take the ladle, go deep down in the bottom where all the noodles more are, and then take it out. That's okay. Yeah?
In the case of the board games, like separating the pieces, the one is allowed to just take the pieces out one by one, meaning separate, special
shoe or whatever. No need at all. So again, I repeat, it's for immediate use, using your hands, and you're taking, what you need. Right. Yeah?
Is there anything that's qualified as objective psoas?
Objective psoas? Sure, whatever people want to eat. For example, orange peel today is objective psoas, even though in some places they may use it and make it or something we discussed in the Shemitah Shirim. But then we came to the conclusion that 99% of it went to the garbage. It's considered to be psoas, banana peels, orange peels. Apple peels, on the other hand, why is that psoas? Most people eat, they serve apples all the time. I don't see people eat peeling them, they just eat the apple with the peel. So, yeah.
So, if you have a board game that, let's say...
It's supposed to be in the kitchen. You have a board game.
Kitchen table.
Right. All right. So let's just review. We went through what we call the primary malachas. Let's go backwards in the Siddur of the past. We talk about lush, about Bevashel and Ofer. We went back to lush, which is before. Then you have the Tochein, surrounded by Borazor and Merakeit. and you have the dush, which is really schita for our purpose. Those are the main malachas that we have to discuss in the Siddur of the past, because the earlier ones don't really happen in the kitchen. It's called a sada. Yeah.
So just getting back to my question, if one is in fact, like there's like oranges and orange peels, people eat the orange peels. If he wants to take out an orange peel, that's still an issue because it's considered rejecting himself, even though he wants is specifically the peel.
You want to eat the orange peel?
I don't personally. I know people.
One wants to eat an orange peel. If you want to eat the orange peel, there's no problem. But I don't recommend it. Yeah.
Is there an issue if someone's like peeling an orange peel or like nuts? Does the peel become like muksa?
Yeah, peels should be peels are muksa. If it's not, for, it can be used for anything. You know, like nutshells and.
How do one move it?
Hayim muksa. That's another kitchen issue. It's true. It's related to the kitchen. A muksa may not be used if it's completely unusable. How do you move it? A number of ways. One is what's called tiltul begufo. You elbow it out of the way. That's considered to be mutter. The more prevalent way is what's called tiltul manatzad tzarach makomo. If it's on the table, you need a clean table. You let him move it indirectly. What's that mean? According to Mishnah Brewer, you take a knife and just and then wipe it away. Chazanish has a mochumer de kashita, but we follow Mishnah Brewer. Just wipe it away with an implement of some sort. Okay? Yeah.
Like how looks it like immediately after I peel it drop it
There's a discussion if books is in your hand, are you required to drop it immediately or not? Some say it depends how severe the muksa is, and this would be required. But there's another cooler when it comes to these peels. It's called graf sharei. It's disgusting. Disgusting items, they will permit you to move on shops. That may qualify. Depends on whose house you're in. Yes?
So basically, it would be absurd to make salad, like let's say right before your Shabbos lunch.
What kind of salad?
Let's say with like peppers, so then you would have to remove the seeds and like cucumber dip, so you would have to...
As long as it's done right before the meal, it should be permissible. As we said...
Even though you're taking the psoas from the ochel, because you're taking the
psoas from the ochel,
because in the pepper you're still taking the seeds from the pepper itself and putting it into the garbage, so that would be like psoas.
That's a good question. It's a good question. Some people make the following comment. They talk about seeds of peppers or seeds of cantaloupe. So you want to serve cantaloupe for a first course of the meal. It's like this. The majority of the seeds are clearly discernible from the melon or the pepper. There's no tarovus, right? It's not mixed in at all. Just clearly on top, right? One item on top of another item, and the few which are left, which are more embedded. So that is a bit of a problem. So there are different ways out of that one, but the vast majority are not. Consider tyrovus, yes.
Even if the seeds are physically attached.
Yeah. But pshuto, yeah, I think so. Even those who are machma by peels, I think it would be more makel over here. It's not as attached as a peel is to a fruit. Yes?
Can you determine what's taking psoas and what's taking over? If I'm kind of this fat, I make a mistake. Am I keeping this?
That's a question. So the better way to do it, I have steak and fat. So I guess what I'm going to eat ultimately is the ochel, and if I slice with a knife, I guess I should pick up the meat and leave behind the fat. Yeah. Okay, good. So now that we're down to the last few minutes, I was asked to say a few things about other kitchen issues which we discussed already Shabbos. One issue was about tevilas kalim. Tevilas kalim, of course, comes up even in camp. The halach is, we just read it in one of the Shabbos a few weeks ago here in camp, you have to be tovel metal. There are six metals which are enumerated in Parshas Matos. There's a question, what are other metals? Aluminum, it's a whole different argument. But we assume that you have to be tovel metals, midoraisa, by Torah law, called the Rov Rishonim, something that's all asmachta, and glass, midorabonim. Glass has certain resemblances to metal. What about plastic? Most posted that plastic need not be tarvos. Hello? That's why I had to take that. Okay. Let me tune it down. Good. So, So tefillas kalim is metal, silverware, pots, pans, And you get married, the first job is to be tovel the kelim. I remember when I got married, we slept at a brewer's mikveh with a bunch of pots and pans and flatware. Whole project. Okay, Baruch Hashem. There I saw in the brewer's mikveh a big sign. Should be tovel, they call it tovel. And they said you have to be tovel with a bracha, but plastic should be toveled without a bracha. I didn't listen to them. I wasn't tovel the plastic at all. China need not be toveled. There was a question about our China because it's glazed. Most poskim assume that the glazing that we have today has nothing to do with what's dried in the poskim. Glazed today is just a spritz. It's a little tiny, it's too thin to really count. And therefore, we assume that it could be makel when it comes to glazed China. Cornyware and Corel is a tumul. Is it really glass or not? Rabbi Felder, Zichrono Levracha, passed away at a young age, not that long ago. So he was the pioneer in some of these English halachas for him. And he wrote in his original sefer, it's Cornyware and Corel need not be toivled. Who's the quote? Rav Moshe, was his Rebbe, Rosh Hashiva. Second edition, this is the parentheses. Well, maybe it's preferred to be toveled without a bracha. What happened? He told me they pressured him. They pressured Rav Moshe. Well, come on, it's more like glass. Rav Moshe, it's not really like glass. Now, I was in the Corningware plant. If we go there, it was one of those trips up in upstate New York. Once when we took a trip, a one and only family trip back in 1985. I think that's the only time we ever really took a trip to a wedding. The wedding of Simcha Lustig's parents. Oh. And we went to Niagara Falls, we went to a farm, we went there. And then the way back, we stopped in this plant. It's supposed to be interesting. They blow glass, etc. It looks a little bit like glass, to tell the truth, but it's not the same. First of all, it's not transparent as our glasses these days. And it's not exactly Rav Moshe held. Glass, a little bit of Rabbanon. So Sfeg and Rabbanon the Kula. It's a dangerous word these days. You know, today's the age of chumras. They don't want to hear Seder on the Kula. So I'm still fond of the first edition of the book, but the second edition does exist. Got to be full disclosure. So Tevilas Kelim applies to things which touch the food.
If you have China that has metal like decorations in it, does that make it
Chayav Tevilah? I don't think so. It's something on the outside. It's usually on the very outside rim, not even touch the food.
Right.
The food is not supposed to go that far out. Yeah.
So if you have a utensil that's like half, like a fork.
Half metal?
Has a...
It should be toveled. Absolutely. If you have a plated utensil, it means it's half is chayav, half is not chayav. Let's say this metal is on the inside and plastic on the outside or vice versa. The whole tumul in the poskim, the general is in both cases to be toveled without a bracha. Okay, that's general food, especially if the metal's on the inside. That's generally assumed. There are such cases these days. Things which do not touch the food, at least intentionally, do not require a can opener. It doesn't have to have tefillah's can opener, things of this nature. Disposables, in my opinion, do not require. That applies to disposable tin fork, you know, these pans which you buy to make cooking and even if you use them, Rabbi Moskowitz asked me, he reuses them. Save the cat money. They say it's still put. Why? Because when they're made, to be thrown out. The company makes them planned obsolescence. They expect you to use it once to throw it out so you can buy another one. So they make their money. You decide you want to reuse it. That's your decision. Who made it to a kli? A Jew. You're Jewish, Baruch Hashem. So you made it to a kli, not the guy. The same thing applies to the Snapple or things of this nature. Those little jars that people sometimes reuse. They meant to throw it out, recycle it, whatever it may be. And then you decide you want to use it. You're Jewish. That's what Rav Moshe has in his tshuva. To whenever these things are maybe reused without tefillah. This is a very serious matter of Tevilas Kelim. And I have to end this year, I promise to end by Musa time. So I want to thank the Talmidim for coming. We had four interesting shiurim, which all just scratched, just barely the surface. Everyone should be zocha to get married, Mr. Shem, at the right time. Not next week, only one person to get married, just now exactly a week, Mazel Tov. And you and all the rest of you at the right time, whatever that'll be. Musa.